You're listening to the Corporate Expat Experience.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am so excited to be here. This has been in the works for a little while now. Stephen and I met on a flight. We were going to New York and then headed off to other areas of the world. And we'll talk about that in a minute. We struck up a great conversation. I was probably bugging him quite a bit on the flight because we just kept talking and talking. But it was such a good flight. I did keep him from doing some of his homework on the flight. We'll get into that. But let's just jump into it. Stephen Urban, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. So let's just dive right in. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience.
Yeah, as you said, my name is Stephen Urban, and I am the founder of Build Your Alliance.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so Build Your Alliance is a passion of mine that I created based off of three working principles that I've had throughout my whole career. And that is, first, helping people articulate who they are now and who they want to be through identifying value, strengths, and purpose. And when you really dive deep into that and knowing who that core of you are, those are the parts of the alliance around you. Those are the tools. So that's where the name came from, right? And then when you have that ability to articulate truly who you are, then you have the power to advocate for yourself. And when you're listening to others, you can advocate for them as well. And with articulation and advocating coming into your powers, navigating whatever is in front of you, whether it's a scary transition, whether it's this hurdle that you can't get over, the navigation becomes so much easier because you can pull from on these allies that you've created and you really know who you are. So that's really the essence of what Build Your Alliance is doing for leaders, individual contributors, and for teams.
So you work with all?
All.
That is fantastic. And I can't wait to explore more of this. You know, when we were on that flight, we were both flying up to New York and
Yep. We
were off to Italy, correct?
I was on my way to vacation for a friend's 50th birthday in Italy.
So fun. I was headed to London for a speaking engagement. And that flight was so great because, I mean, from the get-go, you're smiling and happy. And that's a nice thing to when you get on a flight, you know, your seatmate is a happy person. But we had a great conversation and you were telling me that you were, you know, starting this new business and you'd been working on it for a little while, but you have deep corporate roots. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, for 21 years prior to me making this leap into owning my own business, I worked at, and I'll just say the name, most of the people know, Accenture. It's a large management consulting company and it was my identity for 21 years of my life, and doing some amazing work and working with amazing clients and amazing team members. But there was just a part of me that really started saying, ooh, there's something that's missing. And that part that was missing really started to kind of eat at me. There was like some deterioration that was coming. And to the point where I actually had a little bit of a nervous breakdown, not a little, a big one, at work in November of 2019. And it was my body's way. You know, you and I talked a lot about this, you know, getting caught in your head above the chin, between your chin and your head. But it was my body below the chin telling me, like, there is something going on that you really need to be paying attention to. And, you know, through work with an amazing therapist, I really started to find, you know, that there were no boundaries being set. I was saying yes to everything at work because it's an up or out model. And, you know, for some people that is great. That's what they feed off of that. But I was finding that it was missing some of the important values that I needed with connection, trust, commitment. And I was like, ooh, what is this? And what is it telling me? And I took some time to really like figure that out. And what I really wanted to concentrate on was my ability to help other people find themselves, find their voice, find that power within through the identification of those things. I was doing it regularly with people who reported to me, but I was like, I want to do more of that. And so it led to this whole like journey over the course of this time that I was managing director of how could I put some boundaries up? How could I start to reflect on what I wanted and then move towards that direction? And then lo and behold, you know, I told this to you on the flight, but when I was working with my therapist, I put it out into the world 2 years prior to this when it happened. The best scenario that I could ask for is I make it to the end of my 5 years at, because that's when this like wonderful RSU grant that they give you when you become managing director, when it becomes fully vested. And I said, it would be great if sometime after that point, I did get offered a severance package so that I could take that money and go work on the certifications and the things that I did not have time to do while I was working 60 to 80 hours a week in corporate America, to really go internal and focus on those things that were going to be important to me taking this step. And in January of 2023, I found out the severance package came. So it was right after I got my full vesting. And, you know, people are like, oh my God, are you sad? And I'm like, no, like I literally called my therapist and she goes, you spoke this into the universe 2 years ago, but you are so passionate about the direction you want to go in. There's excitement here. I feel your excitement. And that was kind of that decision. Like, now is the time. Embrace this passion, and just go forward. Take this momentum. And I dove into going into coaching certification and getting all these other certifications that I needed really to build the business up, not only just to give myself the credibility, but the knowing and the knowledge of I've got the right tools to have these conversations with people. So that's kind of the short journey of how I got from 21 years corporate America in the, you know, in the rut of it all, and just moving out to doing something that I found so much joy and passion around.
That there is so much there that I want to dive into, because I think so many points in that story, that journey, resonate with people who are in corporate right now, who are just not feeling like they're living their passion or doing the thing that they want to do, or the stress is catching up with them. Kind of like you talked about, from here to here, you know, we can rationalize those things. We need to pay attention to the rest of our body. And I know that as well. Your body will talk to you when it's, if you don't take a time out, your body will tell you to, for sure.
Oh, yes.
And it will show up in ways you don't even expect. Then also too, you know, figuring out what that is that you really love about the work you do, or what you want to do, what you want to focus more on. It also sounds like you were doing, when you kind of figured out what you wanted to focus more on, even while you were in corporate, were you focusing more on those things in your daily job?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to work during the pandemic. We had published some really amazing research around human resilience. And I had an opportunity to work with Arianna Huffington and her company Thrive Global, and they partnered with Accenture and with Josh Burson from Josh Burson Academy to really start thinking about how do we go to market and talk about this concept of human resilience, allowing people to bounce back from adversity with, you know, strong emotional and mental well-being, physical well-being, relational well-being. And those were aspects, like prior to the pandemic, a lot of companies didn't really spend a lot of time and resources on. They were more focused on the financial well-being, you know, growth and opportunity well-being, and those things. So we started to look around the corner at something else. And so that kind of really got the psychologist in me, because that's one of my degrees. And I was like, ooh, there is something really here. And then that transitioned over into me working with our leadership and culture practice, where, you know, leadership development programs and those types of things at, you know, Fortune 100 companies. So I started to do that. But then we also, as leaders within the company, would have people who report into you from a performance standpoint. We call them people leads, or they call them, because I'm not there anymore. They call them people leads, where you're really focused on helping someone navigate their career. You're representing them at their performance calls. And so that's the part that I really is like, how are you going to navigate this? What is your story? Like, how are you bringing your purpose into what you're doing every day so that people see this energy? They see you come alive. When that really bothered you, what was happening with internally inside of you to say, ugh, you know, your fight or flight, your prefrontal cortex, you know, starts shooting off and it's like, I'm getting angry, or I want to step back and not be involved with these people at all. What is happening? What is your body telling you? What do you need to get out? Because one of your values is probably not being honored. And so that really was kind of the foundation. And then I started looking into the coaching, and I had a friend who worked internally as a coach. And she was like, wow, like, you're speaking this language. You should really think about this. And there's a lot of opportunity out there to do that. Knowing it would be really difficult to do while I was working full time, I kind of put that on the back burner, but I knew it was there.
Wow. I just, most people don't leave me speechless, but I am a little bit right now because this is such a powerful story. I mean, you were able to hone in out of a situation where it wasn't optimal, right? Your body was talking to you. You took a time out for a moment. You actually listened, which most of us don't do. And that's when you have the extreme burnout, right? But to be able to put it out there, this is what I would love to happen. This is who I want to work with. It kind of started to align up while you're in corporate, and then you got your wish, so to speak,
yeah,
of that severance package. I know a lot of people right now are really dealing with challenging times in the corporate world in particular, with layoffs happening. Then you're fighting, the competition is fierce to find a new job. So many people are looking at, what could I do on the side? Could I start a new business? All of that. But there's a lot of feelings that go on when you do have that situation of being laid off. Yours was a happier moment than maybe some people.
Oh yeah, and I had colleagues that, you know, it was, oh my gosh, my identity is being taken away from me. It is the thing that I attach to. It's how I defined my success. It's, you know, I got joy from work. And so this joy has been, you know, diminished. Mm-hmm. And how do I find that again? And so there were a lot of conversations with people because everyone had different reactions, right?
Right.
That how it impacts you. I knew it was allowing me to start a new adventure right away. Mm-hmm. So there was one day of mourning the loss of this identity that I had had for 21 days, but the excitement of moving forward. For right. others, it takes a while and it's hard. And like you said, it's competitive out there. How do you separate, you know, yourself from somebody else if you're trying to go find another corporate W-2 job? Or is there a passion of yours that you're looking to aim that energy towards that you've always been dreaming about but never had time to bring the dream to reality?
That's why these conversations are so important, because it shows that even in a situation which is a neutral event, right? It just is. It's a fact. You know, life has changed. You had an event that people have taken those events and prospered. And mm-hmm. I think that's hopeful for a lot of people who are out there listening and need to hear those stories, but also that there's resources out there. I think, you know, and getting with a coach and working with someone through some of this, I think that's one thing that a lot of people miss. They think executive coaching is for people sitting in certain seats and that they are to get them, you know, to that next level promotion or whatever. But there's so many ways that we can be coached and helped through different challenges in our lives, right? That we haven't navigated yet, but maybe somebody can help us to navigate that.
You know, and there's something else there that is, sometimes we need to process what is happening right now. And through, because we, as humans, we typically will sidestep, you know, some of the emotion that we are feeling. It's easier just to, you know, blasé over it and move past. But sometimes when we dive into what is it really saying, naming it, giving that entity something, and then diving into that pool, you know, we can take time to do that. But then all of a sudden, where you come out on the other side is like you are awakened. You start to understand, you know, there was a problem that was present that I was ignoring, but that problem was feeding this emotion. And now I have the ability to say, I don't want that again. So now I can start to articulate, what is it that I do want? And where do I want to go? Where do I want to take this? How do I find joy again in my life? And we write a lot of blogs on through our site. And we did this Power of You series. And one of it was the power of self-awareness. Then we did the power of gratitude, the power of joy, and the power of trust. And joy is this fuel that we get to use for so much in our life. And when we diminish joy, it's really hard to refill those battery tanks on how we show up at work, how we show up in our relationships with people we love, whether that's friends, partners, husband, wives, you know, our parents. And so, you know, if we're diminishing that joy, we're diminishing the spark that's inside of us. And it's really about finding and tapping into that so that you can fill your battery back up and be excited to make these resonant choices on what I want to do next.
Exciting times too. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It was interesting when I decided to leave corporate. I just left. And we've talked about that. Like, I don't advise that for most people, but for me, it was the right choice at the right time. The body was telling me that something was off, so I needed to listen to that. The mind and the circumstances were as well. And when I was telling some people that I was leaving, you know, and I said, well, I'm concerned about some things that are going on that may impact my personal brand. And they said, what do you mean personal brand? So it was interesting when you just touched on that, like you had this corporate identity for 21 years and some of your colleagues, they define themselves as their job and their corporate, but they don't think about themselves. They don't have that, you know, what do I stand for? What are my values? Because you and I have talked a lot about values.
Yes.
What do I want to do or be known for? What is my legacy? All of these things, because I think, and I love corporate, don't get me wrong. I learned so much and I got to see so many things, and you and I have both traveled the world being in the corporate realm.
Oh, 100%.
Exactly. So it's a wonderful thing. So not knocking on corporate by any means, because I think it's amazing. But I do think that we have an opportunity to self-actualize and really think about ourselves and our personal brand and what we stand for and what we want to do. And we can do that in the corporate world. And I think it's being appreciated a bit more in some companies these days, but we can also do that on our own, whether we're going out and moving to entrepreneur land, or we're doing a side hustle or a volunteer situation. How is that for you or some of the people maybe you've worked with, like helping them figure out what their personal brand is outside those corporate walls?
You know, I'll say one story, and any story that I bring up, I'm a storyteller, but any story that I bring up, I have the permission of these clients to use examples from themes from our sessions, right? And one of the women that I worked with or work with currently too, is she had defined her whole life on these high benchmarks of success, graduating as a valedictorian, graduating at the top of her class in college, being uber involved, doing all these things. And then when she got into corporate America, it was, if I wasn't moving up the ladder fast enough, then that wasn't success. Therefore, it diminished my joy because I was defining everything based on that. Well, fast forward, and now she has a family. She has a daughter. And she's like, I need to redefine what success is to me. And success can be, I made it to my daughter's recital and I got to see the smile on her face. Success could be, I walked in and got to, you know, relieve my husband who's, you know, working from home and been with the daughter on the day off that she was sick. And I'm going to take her and I'm going to hold her. I'm going to read to her. That can be success too. And so it's like, it goes back to this personal brand and how you're evaluating yourself, not even how everyone else is evaluating you, but how you're evaluating yourself and redefining what's really important, not what everyone has told you and programmed in your mind as you've been growing up, but what is truly important to you? What do you value? And part of hers was, I had to rewire my brain to think about what success means to me. And we've been doing a lot of work on that, right? And celebrating when these new definitions of success are being met, right? I'll get a text message, or I'll get a shout out on Instagram or Facebook that, you know, Coach Steven, I've, you know, look what I did this weekend. And that's huge for you to step into this new light and celebrate other things that you were told maybe before that weren't as important, but you brought into the spotlight now and saying, no, they really are.
Wow, that is so powerful. It's that reframing. And I think as we hit different periods of our life, different things become more important to us or less important.
Yeah, this ability to accept what's happening and not be so rigid in these rules that we create for ourselves, and asking, what is this now that's coming into my presence? How is this really impacting me? What do I want to learn from it? What am I discovering? And being open to that allows you then to make new decisions.
You know, one thing that you and I talked about, values, we've talked about it actually quite a bit, some good conversations. And that was another thing that was really interesting to me when I would talk to some of my corporate colleagues at the time. You know, I said, you know, this doesn't really align with my values. And they go, what do you mean? Like your religious ones? And I said, no, like my personal ones. And I think that's something too that we kind of skip over. And a lot of people don't really understand what that actually means to define your values and how that works with your goals.
Oh, 100%. And you're right. Most people will give some high level, you know, oh, these are probably my values, you know, but the work that I do with people is we get down into the weeds and it's like, no, I want you to own whatever term you're calling this. Like that's got to resonate with you. It's got to feel something. And that definition that comes with it, that's you, right? And everyone is unique because like you could have the value of commitment and I could as well, but we might define it completely differently. And that's the part is you've got to own it, right? And when you start to truly own these 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, values, it allows you to, when you're in situations and we go into that, you know, a lot of times it's really easy for people to talk about with like a pet peeve or something that's really bothering them, because that means there's a value or multiple values that are being rubbed the wrong way. They're being dishonored. Maybe it's a violation, like, and that you're feeling it that strongly about it. And when you know what it is, okay, now I know how to react to that in a professional or better, healthier way. And sometimes it could be like, hey, Nicole, remember that meeting last week that we had and I kind of got really angry? It was because I've never told you that this is like one of my pet peeves, which ultimately gets to my value. And it's not your fault because you didn't know, because I've never told you. But I'd like to sit down and talk to you a little bit about that and you understand what's really important to me. And so that we can work and make compromise or whatever we need to do. But at the same time, I want to know more about you so that maybe when you asked those questions, I was getting offended because I thought you didn't know what I was talking about. But maybe like one of your values is thoroughness, that you want to make sure that you have all the information. And if I would have known that, I would have been like, oh, she's just asking the question so that she's sure and that she's got all the information she needs to process this and move forward. It has nothing to do with my ability or not.
Right. It's not questioning you or your level of competence or your integrity or your truthfulness. Maybe it's just that, or maybe it's, right. Who knows?
Well, and it could be, we've gotten into a huge disagreement and I don't like you and you don't like me. But now we need to talk through this, right? Because if, especially in corporate America or at a job, whether it's your job, like entrepreneur, we've got to be able to communicate and articulate and find this common ground. And if we can use these tools, it kind of can bring the heat down a little bit and we can just have a conversation.
I love that you brought that up because that's exactly what I was thinking is this is great for working with a team, you know, and I know you do work with mm-hmm. teams as well and helping them navigate these challenges. It can be great for individuals working for someone else in corporate or other, but also as entrepreneurs. And, you know, because we have to work with our clients, we work with people and we need, and actually sometimes it's a little bit more of a challenge because you're out there kind of in the wilderness or out there by yourself, where in the corporate world, you might be able to tap someone on the shoulder and go, hey, have you worked with this person before? I'm getting this, and maybe get a resolution for it. Whereas entrepreneur, you're kind of out there alone, but this is also great for just even personal relationships, friendships, marriages, anything. I mean, exactly. It can really go a long way. And I think too, you know, another thing is identifying our strengths. That's something you and I have talked about too. I've said this before, but I will say that Stephen has changed my mind on this. I haven't been a big fan of personality tests and all of that for personal reasons. But when we talked about one of the tests that you do in particular relation to strengths, or when I say a test, I guess that's the best way, an evaluation with a tool. Yeah. This one was like spot on, really made sense to me.
Yeah. And so it's Gallup's Clifton Strengths. I was fortunate enough to be exposed to this tool for many years while I was at Accenture. They use it very deeply within their teams. Yeah. The caveat that I will tell anybody, regardless of what assessment you're taking, it's not necessarily meant to say it's going to nail 100% of who you are. But what it does is give you the ability to react of, yep, that's like me. Nope, that's not like me. But it's not like me because this is what it is. And then you have this baseline of where to start from, right? Mm-hmm. And it gives people, because if you're trying to pull some of these things out of the air, some people are great at stepping forward and being like, well, this is who I am, and this is that and that, and they can articulate it right away. But a lot of people, you put them on the spot and you're like, tell me about your strengths. And they're like, they go blank. And so this gives a conversation starter. It allows us to walk in and say, what did you like about this? What were you shocked that was at the top or what was at the bottom? And then we can start to examine, well, and I'll give an example. Again, I go back to my stories.
I love them.
Is I have a dear friend, as I was going through the certification with Gallup, you had to have so many, you know, assessments that you gave out and give like an hour, you know, reading and consulting on coaching on it. And this person is always just very caring, will show up for anybody. Well, he was shocked that empathy showed up towards the bottom of his 34 strengths. And he's like, I always thought I was an empathetic person. People have defined me as being empathetic. And I said, well, what are the characteristics of empathy to you that you find important? And so we started going through that. And then, you know, I brought up the fact and I was like, well, what do we know of being the true definition of like an empath? And he was like, you know, a person that can just see someone's pain, they immediately feel it and everything. And I go, okay, so when you look at somebody and see that they're hurting, do you immediately take on that emotion and feel it through your body? And he goes, no. And I said, what do you do to get there? And he goes, I use historical context. I find facts and understand, because his top strengths are context, which is historical, to intellection. So being able to ask questions, right? Well, what's going on? What are you feeling? What's happened? And then he goes through the Rolodex in his mind really quick. Has that happened to me or somebody else that I've known? And it was like, oh, yes. Ah, now I know how to be present, right? And so those things happen quickly because it comes natural, because it's a strength of his, right? But he was almost bringing empathy based on his ability to use context and intellection to get there, right? And then he has other ones like individualization, the caring of you as a unique individual. So those things can start to then, you know, come around it to show an empathetic-like skill. And he was like, whoa, mind blown. Like, I would have never thought of it like that, but you're right. I do use those things in order to be able to be present for a person that might be going through something difficult.
When we tap into these things and get to know ourselves better, I think this is where I see a lot of people trip up when they are saying, okay, I want to leave my job. I want to start something new. I have an idea. I don't know if I can do it. Or they don't even have an idea, but they just know that they want to do something different. Mm-hmm. This is kind of what I take people back to, is look at your strengths. Let's talk through them. Let's look at where places you excel. What do you like to do? What do you not like to do? All of those things to help figure out what you might be able to do on the other side in entrepreneur land.
Yeah. And, you know, so my top strengths are winning others over, meaning I've never met a stranger. I can walk into a party full of new people and I'm like, hey, and I want to get to know who you are. Individualization is one of mine as well. So it's like the uniqueness of you. I want to know more about you. Communication, futuristic, that strategy of where do I want to be in 5, 10, 15 years and how to get there. Positivity. I'm always a glass, you know, half full, not half empty. And then achiever. I do like to achieve things. I like to make my list and go through and making sure that I'm setting, you know, going in the right direction. Knowing those things about me, though, what I don't have a lot of is the Clifton Strengths is broken up into four different kind of themes. And one of those is executing. I am not like in the spreadsheet type of person and building the plan. I can tell you all the great ideas, but I've always made sure I've had strong people that are like the plan, like task makers and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So for instance, for me, I knew like trying to do my accounting books by myself was not going to be something where I wanted to spend my time. So I hired a small accounting firm that does those things for me on a quarterly basis, right? Mm-hmm. I knew where I would have, and I wouldn't call it a weakness. It's just not one of my talents that are my strengths that I can point to something and do quickly.
Right.
I can do it, but it's going to spend a lot of time. And is that the value of where I need to spend my time? And I think that's the question a lot of people have to start asking is, if I want to make this switch, truly understanding where are my strengths that I can accelerate this switch and do it, but where do I need support? And being honest about what you need support for.
Well, because there's an opportunity cost there. If you're not into accounting and you know it's going to take you a lot longer to do, because first of all, you're not really crazy about it, but you also don't have that skill, maybe that's not something that you really develop to the extent of a professional, you're losing a lot more time. So it's that opportunity cost. That's a great area and a great way to look at it from an entrepreneurial standpoint is, what can I outsource? What should I outsource? Right? And what can I delegate to others? Going back to what you were saying about your own personal strengths, you don't need a t-shirt. I can attest just from our first meeting that you are the epitome of all those strengths. You exude them, right? I mean, when we started talking, like, you were smiling, you were happy, joyful, you were engaging, you were curious about me. And really, we had such a great, engaging conversation. And also, I can tell you were thinking about the future and planning ahead because you were doing your homework on the plane when I would let you, when we weren't talking.
I didn't get much homework done on that flight, but the conversation was so much more rich and enjoyable. I don't know, you and I just kind of hit it off right away because we had similar paths of, we were ready to leave when we knew, and we were listening to our bodies and it was time. And I think that was such a joy just to be in the presence of someone else that was a year or two ahead of me, right? Of where I was in my journey. So just to be able to hear how it went for you, what did you learn? Because the other thing I would tell people is, you're going to make mistakes because you are new at doing these things. As much as you want to plan everything out and be perfect, you think, I need to do these 10 things, and you go pay for those 10 things, and all of a sudden something, and you're like, I probably could have just paid for 3 of those and I've never even used the other 7, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you overdo it sometimes with your excitement of what you need to do. And then you start to learn, okay, I can throw away that subscription. I don't need that anymore, or that expense.
Right.
But be okay with that and don't beat yourself up. And I think that's the other big thing is, know that you're going to learn. This is a continual learning process. And if you are open to that mindset, then the mistakes that you make, as long as they're not like the mistake that's going to completely shut you down, like, you will recover and you will continue to move forward. And the opportunity cost that you, like you just said, that can come in and be like, yep, I'm going to spend something there. Because like for me, if I'm spending 5 hours doing accounting books versus 5 hours being in front of a potential client, right, which one's going to yield me more return?
Absolutely. Right?
It's going to be in front of the client. So I think that's where we have to hone in on what, use those strengths, because they make us go faster. It comes naturally. And one other thing I'll say about that is, they do rank them 1 through 34. It doesn't mean 32, 33, 34 are not anything that you have in you. They're still there. They're just not your go-to. And no matter what you do, you're never going to make your 34 your number one. It is not natural to be able to flip it like that. And that's okay, because we all need different strengths. And if we all were the same top 5, the world would be a very muted, boring place.
And you can't have all those strengths as number one, because you would overwhelm yourself. Plus, you wouldn't allow others the opportunity to shine. And that's one of the things that when I talk to, especially founders, CEOs, I tell them, we've got to learn the art of delegation, right? Whether it's outsourcing something or delegating to someone on your team. Because it's not just about you. Maybe you could do it. And I hear this all the time. Yeah, but I can do it better than they can. Well, is that really something? Or is it, say, social media posts? Do you need to be spending your time there? Look at the opportunity cost, but also allow people their opportunity to shine too.
Or as creative as you think you are, there's other people who are naturally creative, like that can do, like, take your great idea and turn it to exceptional.
Absolutely. I always say, you know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should be doing it, right? And I think that's a tough lesson for a lot of founders. Also, a lot of times they're focused on the cost savings of things. So they'll say, I'll just take care of it myself. And again, we get into that whole opportunity cost. Stephen, what, you know, you're newer into your journey, your entrepreneurial yep. journey. What are some things that have surprised you about being an entrepreneur that you just weren't expecting?
Oh, this total sense of freedom to define where I want to go. You know, it's when you work in corporate America, there's guidelines, right? You know, if you think about if you go bowling and, you know, they put those bumper rails up, like there's always bumper rails, like you're allowed to do so much in this space. Within entrepreneurship, you know, yes, you have to be smart in, you know, the decisions that you're making, because you want to make money and you want to continue offering the purpose and the value of your services. But you have the power to say, like, that's not working. I'm going to immediately, let's go change it, right? Let's think about a different way of doing this. And that just gives you so much more flexibility. And this weight that I felt in corporate America on me has like just gone away. There's other stresses, but that particular weight was a nice surprise. And I didn't realize how much it was present until I started doing this.
Isn't that interesting? Because it's true. I mean, in the corporate world, you know, I think it's really hard for people who have that growth mindset and the entrepreneurial mindset that you have the guardrails down. Sometimes they're to help you. Sometimes they really do hinder progress. But that freedom, that sense of freedom, I totally agree with that. What are some things that are a little more challenging than you expected?
You know, working for a large consulting company, there was this machine behind you, right? I didn't have to write all the marketing. I didn't have to do all these things, right? The accounting, the sales team, like all of those things, right? I could show up and I know all these things were going to, you know, be in play for me. And I could, as a leader, I could direct and like say things, you know, of, oh, we need to change this or do that. But there was always this machine of this team. And, you know, there's a vulnerability of stepping out into your own. And you said it at the beginning is, oh, I don't have that to go to. I've kind of got to make this decision, or opportunity cost. I need to make sure that's a service that I buy into, because I'm not going to be able to do that. And so I think that was kind of leaving this machine and realizing, okay, I've got to quickly make decisions of where do I plug those holes in that I was used to having that are not present automatically.
When I left corporate, you know, I was kind of figuring things out, and I was really doing things more behind the scenes. It was referral only for the longest time. And then when I decided I was going to take it to the next level and be a little bit more out there, and I realized, as many marketing planning sessions I had been in for companies, and it was never me doing the work. Everybody else was. I was just kind of going in and approving. Yep, I like that. I like that. Maybe I'd be in a creative session. I get into entrepreneurship and I realize I don't know anything about marketing. Like, social media is not, first of all, social media is not marketing. It's a piece, an aspect of it, but it's also not exactly, it's just this tiny,
small, tiny part.
But it's also not just, let me wake up in the morning and do a post. You know, there's a whole strategy involved in everything. And I really had to, part of my learning journey was taking a couple of certifications. I had had executive coaching certification for years and years. I do much more than that because I get involved in the strategy with businesses. But that was something I had to learn for myself. And I did outsource some of it, but I had to know it too before I outsourced it, because then I had to know what good looked like and what bad looked like. And I did get a taste of bad. That was one of my mistakes. Hired a firm that I thought was going to be great. They just didn't work out for me, and that's okay. Yeah. But that's another thing that I felt like, even though I had had exposure in the corporate world, I had to learn it differently for my own business.
And it's that, it goes back to that continual learning, right? If you've got to be open to that process, because like you said, I had to go look for, I don't develop websites, right? You know, I wanted a website that, you know, looked professional, that looked good, that easy to navigate. So I went through a couple of people that I was talking to and I was like, ugh, I'm not feeling this from you. And then I found somebody that actually, through my brother, who turned out to be amazing and was a great collaboration, introduced me to a copywriter that really gets me and helps with research on the blogs now. And like, we've become close. So it's like started creating this network, but I had to learn. Like, I didn't think about copyright. I didn't think about, you know, oh, you know, less clicks on this webpage equals, you know, X, right?
Right.
I mean, I've learned that, some of that, from being like in corporate training and all that kind of stuff, but it was different doing it for, you know, a huge behemoth of a company versus now putting myself out there and people are clicking on my website.
Exactly. And also you have companies that have massive budgets to do all of this. So it is totally a different game you're playing.
Exactly.
Is there anything that you really miss from the corporate world?
You know, one of my big things is collaboration and being with the team. I had the joy of being with some amazing individuals over my 21 years. And even on projects where we would be there at 10 o'clock at night, back before COVID, when we were traveling all the time, and, you know, just being in the trenches and working hard on something, the camaraderie that built, or being able to wheel my chair around and talk to like my peer and say, okay, we've got this problem from the client. Can we talk through it and go in this room and whiteboard real quick and just come up with some solutions or how we're going to message this. I miss that aspect, how easy it was, but the flip side of that is through a lot of my certifications and my network, I've realized that I still have connections out there that if I need to get on the phone, I have some really amazing people that I can, you know, jump an idea off and say, hey, what can I do with this? Or I need your creativity. So while I don't have that swivel right away on the team, which I do miss, that nearby collaboration, they're a phone call, a ping away, and I can still get it, but I do just miss the easy access.
And I think that's one thing that I find so many people miss, that and having that network to tap into. They figure it out. And that's why I say it's like moving from one country to another. You're moving from the corporate world to entrepreneur land. And you have to acclimate, right? And a part of that acclimation, you learn the language, you learn the skills, you have to learn who the people are, because the people are completely different. And sometimes I've found too that a lot of my corporate friends, we get together and we'll talk and hang out. They might not see things the same way, or they might bring a new perspective too, which is also fun. But they're curious about what I'm doing and learning more about it, but they just haven't figured that out yet. So finding your tribe outside that are, you can go to for marketing advice, or you can go to for this or that, it's so important.
And be open. You never know when they're going to show up. They could be sitting next to you on a plane on the way to JFK.
That is so true. Being open and networking, and you never know. I mean, I've had some of the most amazing encounters since I have, you know, left corporate and I've gone on this journey, and you start to attract those like-minded people. You will find them. I mean, this whole podcast started because I had one of my corporate clients, executive coaching, and he said, I wish I could do this. I wish I could go and start my own business. And I said, why don't you? He goes, well, I don't know anyone who's been successful doing it. And I said, I know tons of people. And he's like, show me. So I said, sure, I'll start a podcast. And I'm going to start introducing you to all these amazing people like you, Stephen, who are doing it and who are out there. I mean, being successful and loving every minute of it.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So what's some advice you have for this entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, the advice that I want to give is, you know, through my certification with Proactive Training Institute is where I'm getting my coaching certification through. I have a pod leader who has these amazing visuals that she constantly puts up on screen that gets us all thinking and then feeling, right? And one of the ones that she put up that I've started using with some of my clients, and I'll show you, but for those that are, you can't see it, it's basically a fork in the road and there's a sign in the middle. And, you know, you're asking the question to yourself of, you know, where do you want to go? And to the left is, it's the same old shit.
Yep.
Or to the right, it's crazy new shit. And my advice is, if you are really stuck in a rut, you know, a transition needs to occur, a transformation has to happen, or you're just going to be stuck there. If you decide to keep doing the same old shit, what results are going to change? What new is going to happen in your life?
Right.
But if you are brave enough to really look within and find those values, those strengths, this purpose that is telling you point in this direction, what are some crazy new things that you could walk into and try? and see what results might come from that. So the advice is be brave, go right, try some crazy new shit and see what happens. And if the results change and you start to see the things that you want to see, because if you continue doing what you've always done, I guarantee you, if anything does change, it's going to be a small increment and you're probably not even going to notice it or care.
You're not going to be fulfilled. And isn't that like the definition of insanity? If you do the same thing over and over and think you're going to get different results, right?
Right.
Insanity. Why not try some crazy new shit? Why
exactly.
not?
Exactly. Why not?
And I told Stephen it was okay to curse on here. It's okay because it makes sense. It really is though. Why not try something crazy? The thing is, I always tell people, look, if it doesn't work out, go back. You can always go back, you know? To corporate is what I mean. I don't mean
I'm giving myself a 2-year window of really just using my passion to truly help people get through scary transition, overcome a hurdle that has constantly been in front of you that you can't get over or around, right? That can be at a leadership position. It could be a person on a team. It could be people in life that they're just dealing with something and it's impacting everything they do. Let's work through that. And if after 2 years it doesn't work, I've got a good resume. I know I've got great skills. I'll go find another W-2 job, but I don't want to do that because I'm putting everything into this because I truly believe that people just need somebody to be in their corner to listen and help them process through these things so that they can make resonant decisions and take action on where they really want to go.
I love that. I love that. I mean, just try. You know, for some reason, try became a bad word. And I think it's an empowering word. It gives you permission to move forward and to do something different. Why not change it up? Have some fun.
Nicole and I today, if we can't say anything else, we're saying give yourself permission to try.
To try some crazy shit. How about that?
Try some crazy new shit.
I love it. Stephen, where can people find you?
Yeah, so the website is live. It's www.buildyouralliance.com. And when you go on the page, right, there is a book a consultation. There's many different appointment types on there, but the two that you probably need to know the most about is if you're looking for a corporate experience for me to come in and use either Gallup Strengths. I also am certified in 5 Behaviors of a Functioning Team, Patrick Lencioni. I have everything DISC, and I also have everything EQI 2.0, which is the emotional intelligence. So if there's something in that realm that you were like, ooh, we need some of that with our team, go book the corporate information session. It'll put 30 minutes on my calendar. You can pick a time that works for you, and we can talk about what tools and aspects I can bring to really help solve the problem that you are facing. If it's an individual, I offer a free sample coaching session. It's 30 minutes. We'll do about 15 minutes. You bring a topic and we're just going to actually jump into really coaching. And you get to see how I operate as a coach, if our chemistry is working. And then we'll spend the last little bit, if you want to move forward with one of the packages, what that cost, how we move forward and get moving so that we can start forming a relationship that's all about helping you.
It's really a fantastic investment in you and so worth it. No matter if you're wanting to make a change, if you're wanting to overcome something, I think it's one of the best investments you can make. And I always say investing in yourself, you're always going to have a massive ROI.
And like I said at the beginning, I still do. I have my therapist and I also have a coach. They serve 2 different purposes. And having them in my corner has just been amazing for me to unlock all these things in myself that became my allies and how I navigate life.
And for those who are in the corporate realm still, and you're looking at this for your teams, one of the things that I would say is that by investing in your team, you're going to see massive return on investments. It will have a ripple effect in the organization. It will impact your revenue. It'll the culture as well. But also for entrepreneurs, if you have a small team as well, it's something that I really highly recommend. And I've seen the value, the benefit of it. This is about going further faster, which is the whole thing about partnering, right?
Exactly.
Fantastic. Stephen, thank you so much. This was such a great session. I can't wait to have you on again. And I love our conversations. I always walk away just feeling so energized and excited and joy, which is one of your strengths. So you've brought it today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole, for having me. And this has just been an honor talking about my passion. So appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone who joined us today. I really appreciate you being here. Stephen and I both really appreciate you being here. And until the next episode, bye for now. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support this podcast, please hit subscribe, leave a rating and review, share it with others, or post about it on social media. For show notes, links, to connect with guests and more, visit us at corporate-expat.com. And be sure to catch the next episode with more insights and inspiration to support your corporate expat experience. Bye for now.